Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're going to our Sligo studio and to the Chief Executive of the HSE, Paul Reid. Paul, we had a problem with the line earlier. We appreciate you hanging on there. We have it all sorted now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. And just before I do respond to your questions, just to say I'm sure the whole country is quite rattled to listen to the incredible, brave woman, Charlene, and her awful experiences, but what an inspiring woman. And I'm sure she knows the whole country's behind her.
Well, look, you're echoing all of the text messages I see on my screen here, and I'll bring people some of those a little bit later on. But a lot of people were very impressed by Charlene. She's a very capable young woman, and I'm sure she's helped a lot of people this morning. I see we have updated hospital figures, 169 people now in hospital with COVID-19.
Yeah, that's just as of this morning, Claire. So we really are about 70% up on last week's hospitalisations figure. So 169 and 26 in ICU this morning. We have seen a steady rise over the past 4 weeks. That was just about 39 people hospitalised over 4 weeks ago. So while we are seeing some positive indicators in relation to particularly over the last few days, the virus and trends and daily cases, I made the point yesterday and again this morning, we're certainly not out of the woods of it in terms of that trend for hospitalisations. While we have come off a lower base of numbers, it does have a severe impact on us in terms of hospitalisations and isolation that has gone place.
Like, it is fair to say you were pretty optimistic at the HSE briefing yesterday about the vaccine programme in particular, but also the knock-on that that's going to have on where we will be with COVID in the months to come.
Yeah, I think the public should take good confidence from the vaccine programme. If you just take where we're at today, there's now 5.8 million vaccines administered in total. But just even look at July alone, over the past 5 weeks up to last Sunday, we've administered 1.8 million vaccines. And when you look back, that's in 5 weeks alone. If you look back to quarter one, where we had difficulties with suppliers and being let down, it was just 1 million delivered for the whole quarter. So you can see the pace that we're at the minute. And now 86% of the adult population have received the first dose and 72% their second dose. So we really are at a pace of progress and an uptake in particular from the public that we can really very clearly say it has saved lives, it has reduced illness, it has reduced hospitalizations, it's protected people going into ICU. So I certainly am very proud of everybody who's been involved in the vaccination programme, and it's really been a whole Team Ireland event, Team Ireland process where everybody's been involved, public in particular.
Going back to the hospital numbers, the number of people who are in hospital diagnosed with COVID-19, the Taoiseach said he wants more accurate figures from NPHET in particular on those hospitalisations, because some of those people we know were hospitalised for other reasons and then it was found after admission that they had COVID-19. Do you think that that's something that we should know about and hear about, whether there are some of those 169 who are asymptomatic, for example?
Yeah, we're very anxious to get whatever level of detail we can to support government as well in terms of assessing the full analysis of hospitalised COVID patients. But I'll make a few points, and we're doing some deeper analysis of it now, particularly to see is there a variance with the current Delta variant versus previous experience. And the analysis we've looked at of when we're at about 160 or so, demonstrates approximately about 70% of the cases have been admitted to hospital with COVID, so specifically related with COVID. Another smaller number would have been contracted COVID, for example, when we had an outbreak last week in Mayo, and they would not have been as sick. And then another smaller number were admitted with another illness and then on testing diagnosed with COVID. So the one message I would like to really get through, and first of all, you know, it's hard to say that's when numbers grow, we'll continuously monitor this. But the one message I would really say, actually two messages. First of all, regardless of what number it is, every positive COVID patient, and it's not the patient's fault, has a disproportionate effect on ourselves and the health service, because we have to put in isolation. We have to remove people from wards. We have to put stronger infection prevention and control measures in. We have to carry out testing. We have to protect people who are positive and not positive. So it has a very serious impact on us. The second message I would like to say, particularly for your listeners, because I've seen this in social media, you know, there can be a trend. Well, you're not really sick if you're in a hospital with COVID. Well, you really are sick. And we've seen high acuity, people needing really, really high acuity care, maybe in a ward, sometimes outside of the ward, receiving advanced respiratory care. And then indeed in ICU. So strong message you want to say to people is, if you are in hospital with COVID, you are particularly sick and generally in need of high acuity care. So I wouldn't like that message to get lost in all the analysis.
This letter from government to NPHET, which says patients with appendicitis, for example, or an injury, but who happen to test positive for COVID-19 should be excluded from hospitalisation data. I take it from what you've just said that you wouldn't agree with doing that.
No, I think the WHO as well, and many analysis, there have been many learnings as we move through this analysis of COVID and impacts, but certainly from a hospitalised perspective, we will always need to analyse. I fully understand how government will want further understanding of the total sickness levels with COVID and indeed mortalities. But from our perspective, every patient has a significant disproportionate, every COVID patient has a significant disproportionate. So we will always be assessing the full COVID number of patients that we have in hospital. And look, we do want to get before because we do want to understand the trends, the levels of sickness that we're experiencing this variant versus previous ones. And that's fully understand that analysis. And we are doing that analysis right now. And we want to monitor those trends.
So the impact on the health service is the same, regardless of whether somebody is asymptomatic or not.
That's correct. That's correct.
We had the INMO on earlier in the week, and they were saying that they're dealing with all of these problems now around overcrowding, people coming in for normal care. Then you have your COVID stream. You have people off because they need to self-isolate if they're a close contact. You have other nurses off who may be pregnant and can't come into work for that reason. And they're calling for the arrangement with the private hospitals to be reactivated again. Are you close to that point?
Well, we do. We have continued an arrangement with the private hospitals. We had an arrangement, if you recall, from the phase in January, February, March. We've continued and we're continuing to use private hospitals of it. I think what we are seeing, Claire, if you like, over the last couple of weeks in particular, we're seeing significant extra attendance. It's probably up around 20% on last year. To our emergency departments. And that's a function of a few issues. First of all, we're seeing delayed presentations. So people who didn't come forward for care during January, February, March, the early phases. And specifically and particularly in that, we're seeing a significant proportion of older persons with high frailty coming forward. You know, they're now out and about. They're now gaining confidence levels, thankfully. And they are now feeling more confident coming back to hospital. But what we are seeing is they have delayed their care. So needing a lot more attention in hospital. And certainly, you know, we're getting reports back from a lot of our emergency departments, many significant proportion over 75, many people over 85, many people over 90 years of age. There's other factors that are driving more attendance. I think the impact of the GPs not having access to diagnostics for a number of weeks during the cyber attack has seen more people who have had diagnostics delayed and now coming forward for care as well. Thankfully, that's restored. It should help us. And finally, we're seeing things like people are obviously having more staycations here in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And the ones where we're hospitals where we're seeing, interestingly, higher demand, in particular over the last couple of weeks, are, you know, Sligo, Galway, Limerick, Cork. So people holidaying, maybe engaging in more activities that they didn't engage in previously. And more, there's just a little more people. More people are active at the moment.
Yeah, but that is, you accept causing a problem for people who work in emergency departments and then further downstream in the hospital. So the INMO were calling for something to be done about this, saying that they're reaching crisis point, their staff are exhausted, and I know you're aware of all that. Is there any words of comfort you can offer them about a plan?
Oh yeah, for sure. Look, what we are doing and we will continue to do is, in many occasions, the solution for the emergency departments is not directly in the emergency department itself, but we do need, and we are recruiting extra nurses, we're recruiting extra doctors, and particularly, specifically, I know the IMO related to Limerick, where we have significant recruitment going on. But apart from that, the whole range of supports that we put in includes enhanced extra home supports for people to try support people getting, particularly older people, getting their care at home. Now having restored GP access to diagnostics is an important aspect for us. Integrated teams working in the community to try people again, treat people at home, more step-down beds. Our National Ambulance Service teams will be continuously, particularly as we head into winter, responding to care mm-hmm. and treating people at home. Okay. So, you know, there's a range of initiatives that were very successful for us through COVID, and we're funding those now and through the winter.
When can we expect the vaccination portal for the 12 to 15 year olds to open? I know Damien McCallion, your colleague, was on Morning Ireland. He was saying adjustments will have to be made to the website. You know how long that's going to take?
Yeah, well, look, we're at a very exciting phase when we start now to talk about vaccinating 12, 15 year olds. Specifically related to that, there's about 280,000 of a population on the CSO census on that. There's three aspects, Claire, we're working through right now in the next coming days. First of all, are the consent issues, the finalised consent issues, which are, you know, they have to be medically tested and indeed legally tested, because we will need consent of the guardian or parent. Second issue are the communications that we have to finalise, get ready at a national level to give people a full understanding of the options, and equally at an individual level when people come forward. And the third aspect specifically, as you related to, we have to make significant changes to our IT system, because we now need to capture details of the guardian, the parent, and indeed the person, the young child under 12, 15, and their details. So there's an extra layer we're putting in. Specifically to your question, we will have a clearer answer mid next week, and we will be able to announce when we're actually opening, because we'll have some feedback from our IT guys and our systems players. But it will be, I can reassure everybody, it will be within the next 2 weeks. So if it's not the week, in that week of 9th of August, it'll be the week of 16th, but within the next 2 weeks.
When are we getting the million doses from Romania? Because they're going off at the end of August, which isn't that far away.
Well, in terms of at the end of August, we'll clarify, we will always need more supplies of Pfizer, and the detailed discussions that have been happening at the Department of Health level and government officials directly with the Romanian authorities are progressing, and my understanding is progressing quite well now. And we will be availing of whatever supplies emerge from that, because we do know we have to continue our programme. We'll have to continue a winter programme of boosters. The clarity around when they expire, etc., is all being worked through at the moment. But from a HSE perspective, we will really welcome any further supplies that can emerge.
It's nearly a month, though, since the Taoiseach announced that we were buying those from Romania. Is there a roadblock there, or what's happening?
No, I think by the very nature of it, there's certainly regulatory issues that the officials would have to be clear of and certain of. There's EU issues, there's legal issues that all have to be clarified. And working with the Romanian authorities, I know they've been in detailed discussions over the last few weeks. But again, my understanding is, I appreciate it has taken a while, but my understanding is very good progress made. And I'm sure the Taoiseach and others will make announcements when that's finalised.
And finally, there's still controversy around partners accessing maternity units when their partners are inside for various reasons. It's been raised politically time and again this week. And we were talking about this with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar on the programme, and we were saying perhaps the digital COVID certificate might be a way to allow those partners access to the maternity units. What do you think?
I think a couple of things on this one. First of all, it is a level of frustration for everybody, particularly for partners and women, and the experience that many have been relayed directly to myself. A few quick things on it. First of all, we put in four initial areas where we wanted to see the 19 maternity hospitals complying with back in May. I can reassure your listeners across those four areas, which were the 20-week scan, the visits for postnatal visits, the labour ward experience, and then the neonatal intensive care unit. Those four are fully compliant across all hospitals. There are three extra ones which we set out in July, which were in end of June, early July, which were the advanced pregnancy assessment unit. Secondly, for dealing with complex pregnancies, and thirdly, for late pregnancy attendance at EDs. And there's a smaller number now, as of this morning, who are not fully compliant with those last three areas. Sometimes, I just have to really state it, sometimes for really strong medical safety issues. What I've convened next week is with the senior managers of those hospitals, a call and discussion to, first of all, ensure and seek that everybody gets up to the full compliant level. And if there are any safety and clearly medical risks, which they have to take on today in specific areas, that I'm clear of what they are.
OK, Paul Reid, thank you very much for joining us. Paul Reid, their CEO of the HSE in our Sligo studio. Some news just breaking this morning. The Wexford hurling manager, Davy Fitzgerald, has stepped down after 5 years in charge of the side. We'll bring you more on that shortly. Now we're going to take a quick break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.